Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill. And each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District, Steve Pierce. Steve, how are you doing this week?
Oh, we're doing well. These rainy, overcast days on the east side of the state are just unseasonable. It's been cool around here, and again, a hint of rain. Of course, we got the floods last week, and so just highly unusual weather going on, but we're doing well.
Good, good. Well, you know, that's why they had to change the name from global warming to climate change, because it's actually cooling.
Yeah, it's actually cooling here. You know, and the thing that nobody ever asked about, if we get rid of all the carbon in the air, that's when you have tremendous problems. You get a constant winter, basically. And so nobody has ever explained, if they get all the carbon out of the air, what we're going to do then. But again, this is just a ploy by the left to take over the energy industry and to eliminate the oil and gas, to eliminate coal, and get their pet projects funded. And it'll take a lot of government paychecks to put up all the wind and solar. So we know what their game is, and we simply have to hold to our values.
Well, just logic would dictate, if you go back to the cars from the 1940s and 50s, you remember, you start one of those up and it stunk. Cars are, you know, internal combustion engines are far cleaner now. I remember as a kid in L.A., we had days we couldn't play outside. In 1973, they started putting catalytic converters on the cars, clean them up. They're far cleaner now than they were. But think of those old cars. Why weren't we having these problems with so-called atmospheric and global changing back then, when cars were much dirtier?
I know. And then when you get these volcanic eruptions that spew ash literally around the entire world, as a pilot, I've seen some of these ash clouds, and they extend for thousands of miles. And the climate scientists say, well, you can't calculate those. They don't count. And if they don't count, then that simply says that their models don't work. And all of these things are not based on fact. They're based on models. I was listening to a podcast earlier this week, and it was talking about the lies about meat that occurred back in the 50s and the 60s. And basically, a few special interest players that were working for the big cereal companies and the big processed food companies began to get government influence to trash meat. And so based on a lie, a lot of the government programs began to hand out processed foods rather than healthy foods. And so we have a problem today of overweight Americans. It's a huge problem. Diabetes running rampant through the population, both youth diabetes and adult diabetes. Those are ticking healthcare time bombs, and they were set in place by a lie back in the 50s and 60s. And so it's amazing how the government is willing to turn a blind eye to real science and then go for this fake science. But that's what's going on here.
And that leads us to our next topic. Last week, we had Jim Townsend filling in for you, and we were talking about Chaco Canyon, and Deb Haaland limited drilling around Chaco Canyon to 10 miles without any real science behind that. And there's a lot of folks, especially our Native American friends in the Navajo Nation, who are not happy with her about that. And they live there. She doesn't.
Yeah, the allottees who get their pay from those oil and gas leases, they're paid millions every year for those leases, are suddenly going to be cut out of that revenue, and they're angry. And so Navajos were protesting Secretary Haaland's visit. She was going to come in and do one of those grand ribbon cuttings or whatever you're going to do, saying that we've now saved Chaco Canyon.
Yeah, look what I did for you. Yeah, the typical left, you know, everybody must agree with us, right? Well, no.
No, not they didn't. In fact, enough Navajos showed up that they blocked the road and blocked access. So the whole Secretary Haaland team had to change the destination and go somewhere else to do their dog and pony show. And it's amazing, because most Navajos are strong Democrat supporters.
Here's an audio clip I got from the New Mexico Political Report when Secretary Haaland arrived at the event at Chaco Canyon.
This is where you get to the real truth of the left. They don't care who votes for them. They care about their agenda more than humans. And there is no scientific reason at all to limit this oil and gas production in this 10-mile radius. Again, I have mentioned many times on the program that we have oil and gas wells right in the middle of towns in these southeast corners and up in Farmington. And people who live around them live there for their entire lives without health problems. And now then you have Secretary Haaland and the Biden administration administration having war on the Navajo Nation in order to achieve political objectives to satisfy the extreme environmentalists who support them. These people pour a lot of money into the Democrat coffers to get their candidates elected, and they expect something in return. And what they got in return hurt the Navajo Nation, but the left doesn't care who they hurt. They simply have to keep peace with the folks who write the big checks. And that's what's going on here.
And the Navajos also took a hit when they shut down the coal fire plant in the Four Corners.
Oh, I talked to Navajo miners that were making over $100,000 a year. They were suddenly going to have to go home and live off of government subsistence. What kind of a government would do that? The coal industry has been cleaned up dramatically over the last 50 years. And so this new clean coal technology is not the problem that it used to be. And yet the left wants to get rid of all of these kinds of fuels because they feel like the population of the world is too great. And by limiting access to energy, that is through coal. Coal provides 50% of our power. That when you turn on an electric light switch, 50% of the power comes from coal. About 20-25% comes from oil and gas, mostly natural gas. Then you get about 20% on nuclear. And so that leaves you with about 5% for the so-called renewable fuels like wind and solar. So again, the left feels like if they'll shut down access to real power, to real energy, that they can control the global population. That's kind of the underbelly, the soft underbelly of what the left is up to.
Something else the left seems to be up to. Is it a coincidence that Trump is being indicted this week on Tuesday at the same time that the Biden bribery case went public?
Again, it's a wag the dog type of thing that started up during the Clinton administration. You create a big news story over here to hide the other news story that is destructive to you. And that appears to be exactly what they're doing. But this Trump indictment, the Wall Street Journal had a scathing article today saying that it could undermine the justice system in the entire country. When you get the Wall Street Journal making such comments boldly on the front page of their paper, now you have people alarmed at what's going on to President Trump. Trump says in his releases that he's being indicted for 15 boxes of material that he had at his house under lock and key. It was secure. He was dealing with the federal agents who were overseeing it, who were there, and they were wanting to go through it, and they were having to get access to it because it's under lock and key. Biden has got 1,850 boxes at the University of Delaware, more boxes over at the University of Pennsylvania, and you don't ever want to forget the ones that he had secure in his Corvette and his garage. Now, all of us know how easy it is to break into a garage, and so the fact that he's got top secret things there tells us that the FBI, the Justice Department, is not interested in securing these documents at all. They're not interested in the documents that Trump had. Obama took supposedly a million documents, and of course, nothing was done to him. It's been a standard practice, and the left doesn't care what standard practice is. All they want to do is accomplish their objectives, and that is to get President Trump to where he cannot win election. Oddly, I think that these things are going to play in his favor. I believe that the public is going to become sympathetic to someone who's treated as unfairly as Trump is. Now, I don't know if he's going to be the Republican nominee as the Republican Party chair. I won't take a position in that, but I will tell you, in the issue of fairness and the issue of real justice over this fake justice, I will always express my opinion on that. But you had mentioned earlier that they are coming after him on espionage charges.
Yeah, it's my understanding the Presidential Records Act, even if you violate that, there's no penalty. So they had to find something else to go after him with.
Sure. And he can also claim in court that he downgraded the classification on these documents, and that is legal. Now, Joe Biden, a lot of his documents were carried when he's vice president, and you cannot, as a vice president, take any documents, and you can't downgrade them. And so, again, the sheer injustice of what's going on, the sheer politicization of our justice system is one that should frighten all Americans. And I think that people are getting the idea. This is looking like a third world country, like a banana republic.
Well, and it shows, even if you're not a Trump fan, it really is starting to show the two-tier system, Hillary Clinton and her emails. And nothing happened to her. And again, she couldn't declassify those documents either. She wasn't president. Yeah, she was Secretary of State.
Yeah, she erased 30,000 emails to hide her crime, and yet nothing ever happened to her.
And to that, I thought it'd be fun to play this just to show people how the media covers one candidate over another. President Trump was at a rally in Iowa when President Biden was speaking at the Air Force Academy, and President Biden fell. He tripped over a sandbag there, and he wasn't hurt. They picked him up, and he's okay. But expecting Trump to say something derogatory about the president, as soon as the media got the word at Trump's rally, they started asking, Mr. Trump, did you hear President Biden fell? The press is expecting to make a derogatory comment toward the president. And what does Trump say? And we'll play this for you in a moment. He says, I hope he wasn't hurt. You don't want that. Now, if we saw more of that from President Trump than the persona that he plays most of the time, I think he'd have a lot more support from the American public.
Yeah, that's true. Basically, I think that Mr. Trump has got two strong different characters. One is the one you see in public, but the one in private, I think, is the one that responds well. I know him. I've met him. He's called me on the phone. I've talked to him personally, and he's very gracious. And so that response that you're talking about that we're going to play for our listeners is one that I think reflects the real President Trump. You know, you get these press things and you can almost feel when they think they've got you in a corner, and I can just visualize the way the press is up there and they probably are grinning like Cheshire cats, thinking that they have got the president, that they know what he's going to say. And then they spring the question on him with all the TV cameras rolling. They all want this moment. And then he responds with what Ernest Hemingway calls courage. That's grace under pressure. He responded with a great deal of grace under the pressure of the moment. And I think that he responded truthfully with who he is. But let's play that clip.
President Trump.
Biden just fell on stage at the commencement.
He did? He just fell on what stage? He's at the Air Force Academy. He actually fell down? Well, I hope he wasn't hurt. I hope he wasn't hurt. But it's the whole thing is, look, the whole thing is crazy. You got to be careful about that. You got to be careful about that because you don't want that.
I'm talking with Steve Pierce, the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico. In just a moment, we will discuss the Biden bribery case on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pearson. Steve, the Biden bribery case is finally getting broken open. They're finding that money was sent to family members, even grandchildren now. So that's how they're trying to hide it, I guess. But the FBI now has found it.
Yeah, the FBI has a document in their hands. It's called an FD-1023. It's when they have a trusted informant and they will send them in to talk to somebody. In this case, they went in and this informant that had been used by the FBI was sent in to talk to a high-ranking executive of Burisma. Of course, that's the company that Hunter Biden was, I think, making $70,000 or $80,000 a month when he was working for them. And so this document actually occurred June 30th, 2020. It was in the hands of the FBI during the presidential election of 2020, and yet they kept it, along with other things, hidden from the public. They kept the Hunter Biden laptop hidden from the public. Later, when voters were polled who voted for Joe Biden, when they found out about the Hunter Biden laptop, about 10% said they would have not voted for him if they had known that. That would have been far more than enough to change the outcome of the election. And then this knowledge now of what was occurring with Burisma paying off both Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. At one point, evidently, in this secret document that's in the FBI, they have not released it, but this intelligence source says that the Burisma executive says, hey, we were trying to get access into the U.S. oil market. We were wanting to buy oil rights here in the U.S., and they were also wanting to work with U.S. companies, and they said they couldn't do it because the Ukrainian prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, was so hot on their tail that they needed somebody to call him off and somebody to quiet him down, somebody to smooth over so that they could have access to these U.S. markets. And so the exec said, and so you had to pay $50,000 to Joe Biden, who was vice president at that time, and then another $50,000 to Hunter Biden. And the executive says, no, not $50,000, $5 million each, $5 million each. And then, like you said, they dispersed the payments up and down through the family. But this is a document that's in the hands of the FBI. It is not being released to the public. Joe Biden is not being prosecuted for it. Hunter Biden is not being prosecuted for it. It should frighten people that we have this two-tier system of justice. Because when justice is not blind, when it is not applied evenly, then you can bet that those of us who don't have the standing of presidential position or any key standing with the Democrat Party, you can be brought into this justice system at any time and charged with anything. If they can make up espionage charges on President Trump, they can make up anything on you and me. And so I think that that's the real thing that should be sinking into the public, that this is a very unsettling time. And again, this is what the Wall Street Journal is saying today as we're cutting this program about that Trump indictment.
We have a clip about the Biden bribery case from Fox News.
Marcel, we are now just 2 days away from a major meeting about the Biden family business dealings. FBI Director Christopher Wray is set to speak with House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer on Wednesday. That is 1 day after the deadline that Comer gave him to share an internal document. A whistleblower claims that the document shows then Vice President Biden was involved in a criminal scheme with a foreign national. For more on this, joining us now is Jonathan Turley, Fox News contributor and a GWU law professor and a constitutional law attorney. Jonathan, thanks for your time today. So look, this meeting is going to happen on Wednesday, right after, you know, James Comer and Republicans were potentially pitching the idea of holding Christopher Wray in contempt of Congress if he didn't start cooperating. What do you think is going to come out of this meeting, if anything?
Well, most expectations is that Wray is going to hold the line and resist revealing this document. Their argument is that this document contains the type of raw allegations that come over the transom or through sources, sometimes anonymous sources. The problem with the FBI's position is that it is also being investigated, that one of the concerns among many in the American people is that they believe that the FBI has been politically compromised for years. And polls indicate that that is not changing. And whether you agree with that or not, it suggests that your approach needs to change. That is, the only way to reverse those numbers is to give greater transparency. There's another issue here that supports Congress. You know, yes, the FBI investigates crime, but one of the functions of the Congress in oversight is to look at corruption. That includes things that may not be criminal, but are corrupt. Influence peddling is the favorite form of corruption in Washington. And in this case, the Bidens have been accused of millions of dollars coming from foreign interests, some closely associated with foreign intelligence. This document's part of that investigation. I think that Ray's got to look at that context and say this is not the usual, you know, push and shove from Congress. There's a need here to be more transparent.
And let's take a listen to Congressman James Comer, again, the chairman of the Oversight Committee, in terms of what he believes is so important about this whistleblower document. Take a listen.
This is a very serious accusation. This accusation fits a pattern that we uncovered, especially in Romania, where then Vice President Biden visits the country, talks about foreign policy and foreign aid, and then 2 weeks later, his family starts getting bank wires from foreign nationals in this country to the different Biden family members. We also want to know what exactly the FBI did to investigate this very serious allegation.
So, John, you just mentioned the FBI is already taking hits with its reputation with the American public. If they decide not to cooperate with this subpoena or turn over this document or work with Comer on it, do you think that trust, that public trust, is just going to erode even further?
Well, I think that Ray knows that Merrick Garland has his back. It's unlikely that Garland will move forward on a contempt citation, even though Garland aggressively pursued contempt violations involving Congress when the targets were Trump officials. So this is going to create tension across the line. But one of the things that makes this more poignant is that the House just released a report that, while it was ignored by many in the media, it has some really shocking details about these millions of dollars that went to the Biden family. The Bidens have been known for years for their influence peddling. I mean, they're really in a class of their own when it comes to this form of corruption. But what the House revealed was this labyrinth of accounts and corporations used to transfer this money, including to some grandchildren. There really isn't an easy explanation of why this complex system was used, other than to try to hide the trail that goes back to these foreign interests.
Jonathan Turley, thank you so much for your insights and for your time.
As always,
we'll talk to you soon.
I'm talking with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Coming up in a moment, Steve and I will discuss President Biden's plan to forgive college student loans. Is it fair? Is it legal? And at what cost to taxpayers? That's next on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I continue my conversation now with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, President Biden wants to forgive student loans. And those evil Republicans, Steve, don't want to allow that. They want students to pay back the loans. That's how Republicans are being portrayed. However, if you're a student who worked hard and did pay your loan back, you're thinking, well, how come they get it free and I had to pay mine back?
Yeah, that is the question. What about people who never went to college? They're going to be taxed in order to pay for this. The estimates of this program are like $1 trillion. It's not a small program. Even a former Obama economic advisor, Jason Furman, has said that if the Biden administration does this, and he argues against it, he said it's going to be like pouring gasoline on the inflation fire. Every taxpayer in the country is going to be tagged with a $2,500 tax bill to pay for basically the top 50% of the wage earners in the country are going to be the biggest beneficiaries. People at the bottom of the economic ladder, number one, their kids don't go to college. By far, the largest percentage of kids that are going to college are in the upper half of the wage earners in the country. And so you're basically giving a gift to the top half of the wage earners in the country. They're not the ones who need it. If we're going to do something, let's pay for kids who are not going to college to get some sort of a apprenticeship program to where that they can get better, higher paying jobs because of their training. We should not be paying off the loans for people who can afford it. And especially, we shouldn't be making people who didn't go to college pay for it. We shouldn't be making people who paid off their bill. There ought to be some sort of exclusion for if you went to college during this time and you paid your loan off, you should be exempt from the tax. There are a lot of things that should be considered, but frankly, it's a concept that should not pass. Now, the Republican House passed a bill that, in fact, was going to block the Biden administration from forgiving these loans. And the Democrat-controlled Senate also passed it. Both House and the Senate were bipartisan votes. They had Democrats and Republicans supporting this blocking of the Biden administration from this loan forgiveness program because, again, it's a bad economic plan for the country. The Obama administration official had said that. But when it passed and went to Biden's desk for signature, he vetoed it, and that then has set up the fact that it's got to go to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is set to hear it, and the Biden administration is already trying to figure out how they can get around the Supreme Court decision. That's not the way the country is supposed to work. We're supposed to let the process work itself out, and so the fact that the Biden administration is already trying to find how to cheat against the Supreme Court decision tells you again who it is that we're dealing with. So you get Hunter Biden and Joe Biden taking payoffs. You get them trying to work their way around the Supreme Court. You get them passing a thing for the Navajos to block all drilling close to the Chaco Canyon, much to the disadvantage of the Navajos themselves. And you have a sense of where the country is under the Biden administration. And so I just think that we're going to find a backlash among people at the polls in 2024 because of the extreme nature of the corruption in the Biden White House.
Yeah, you wonder how bad it has to get before people start voting a different way. And maybe we're getting there. We're starting to see some pushback, as I mentioned earlier, on some of these things.
You get the pushback on Bud Light. You get the pushback on Target. You're getting a lot of pushback. And I know these subjects that we're talking about today, they're full of pressure, they're full of criticism, but it's factual criticism. And a lot of times people only see the negative thing. But I will tell you, as we talk to Democrats, independents, and Republicans across the country, talking to state chairmen that are in every state, and we're finding that everywhere, the basic conservative Democrat is very frustrated with where their party is. Now, that has resulted in a lot of registrations being changed nationwide. But I think the main thing is that people are deciding for themselves that this system that the Democrats are pushing is not going to work. This system of taking the rights away from women athletes, this two-tiered system of justice. I think that this whole college loan program is going to be a big backfire when people realize it's just a bailout for the rich. And so all of those things put together tell me that in 2024, that I believe the election is going to be a severe rebuke to the leftists who are trying to run the government right now.
Steve Pierce, chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, thank you. If you've been listening to us and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, check out the website at newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at newmexicogop. If you would like to speak to someone in person, you may call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again at this time next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.